Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning, rise and shine. You're on with the Due Time with Pastor Steph. How are you today? That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you yesterday? Oh, we started off the week shaking the Monday morning blues with the Due Time crew, and we talked about the things that will surely kill a relationship. Yes, and we talked about trust issues. You know, if you cannot trust the one you're with, whether it's is for, you know, because they're a liar, is it because they cheated, whatever it is that makes you not trust them to the degree that you should be trusting them, you know, is not a good thing. No, and it will definitely kill a relationship. You know, where'd you go, what time did you leave? Remember last week with the young lady? You know, she had to have her boyfriend on a short leash. Yeah, once you have to go through all of that, there's no real relationship. You know, you always got to go through either harassing or being harassed. Yes. We also talked about a lack of balance. Yes. You know, everything needs a balancing act in life. You know, Ecclesiastes tells us there's a time for this and there's a time for that. It's always a level of being equal. You can't have too much of one thing and it possibly leaves your relationship intact. No, it will kill a relationship. If you've got one person doing all the cleaning, one person doing all of this and all of that, they're going to become resentful. Come on. And opposites might attract, but at the end of the day, some compatibility problems will become a bigger issue than you thought. Yes, they surely shall. Okay, so you want to make sure you have what you need in regards to compatibility so that you can be blessed in your relationship. Okay? All right. So, we had our second switch tip of the year. Our switch tip number 87 with Shanti, be God confident. You know, we're confident in a whole lot of things. And Shanti talked about it yesterday. You know, we're always reaching for the things that come easy, the things that don't take much work. And that's what makes us confident. But you need to be God confident. In order to get through this life, because this world, this is a tough place to be. It will chew you up and spit you out and come back for the leftovers if there are any. So you got to make sure that you are always on point with your godly confidence. You need to be able to get up in the morning, say your prayers, talk to God first, and walk through each day knowing that you know that you know that God is going to handle it all. Oh, my goodness. What kind of feeling is that? You know how many people walk around scared? I'm scared of this. I'm scared of that. I'm scared of this. I couldn't live like that. It would drive me absolutely bonkers. No. You know, being godly confident is really the key to your peace. It is your key to comfort, and it is your key to joy. You got to have that God, you got to be God confident, because think about the flip side of that. Didn't we just talk about balance? You can be concerned, but not be overwhelmed. Yes, because your God confident mentality will help to streamline the way you live, because it will give you an opportunity to be concerned about some things. Why else do we pray? We give God thanks, as well as we petition God for the things that are important, that are going on. So come on, come on, come on. That second switch tip coming at this time of the year is key. Because you know what? If you start now, you just came out of last year, you know, 21, where we had to wear masks all the time, and our lives had taken a serious shift, because we thought this was all going to be over. You know, some of us did, thought it was all going to be over in 20. And we spent the entire 21 in COVID world. So we spent 20 in COVID world, 21 in COVID world, and some people started getting, you know, a little down, you know, losing their confidence. So you can't wake up and just have just regular confidence, because that kind of confidence is very short-lived. It has no foundation. Yeah. Then you see people walking around and they, you know, they puffed up. They got their thing together. But if it's not God confident, it ain't gonna last. It ain't gonna last. It ain't gonna last. Oh my, it ain't gonna last. So I love the fact that this switch tip comes with, you know, some leftover from the week before. You know, get rid of those titles and be God confident. Huh. So see, you can get rid of those titles if you're God confident, because you ain't got to worry about what people say or who people call you. You going to be who you going to be. Ah, all right now. Woo. So that's how we spent our Monday, shaking the Monday morning blues. Yes, together. We've been doing that for a year and a half together. So now, you know, it's time to go into Let's Talk About It Tuesday Church Folk Day. Yes, here we are, already into Tuesday. And, you know, since we are talking today, you know, there's an elephant or some elephants in the room. I didn't talk about it yesterday because we're supposed to talk about things today. And yeah, there's some stuff going on that we've got to talk about. We cannot not talk about this stuff, you know, because we've entered into, you know, a time where we have to be reminded of some things. You know, every day I close out and I say, excuse me, please accept Jesus as your personal Savior, because later is not promised to you. And boy, oh boy, oh boy, we seem to be walking into this more and more and more. So, you know, we got some stuff to talk about. We got some stuff to talk about. So we're going to give you an opportunity to go get that healthy breakfast. We're going to give you an opportunity to go tell a friend that it's due time when Pastor Steph is on. And we're going to remind you, don't go nowhere, because we will be right back.
Preventing type 2 diabetes is easier when you have the encouragement and support of others. That's why the CDC-led National Diabetes Prevention Program's Lifestyle Change Program works so well.
Your support group is probably the biggest help. They keep you motivated, and what I enjoyed most was the way I felt when I finished the class.
Being in the class and having the support of people who are in the same predicament as I was, it really helped a lot.
What's really powerful in the program is when participants are able to connect with one another, to share ideas, to problem solve, to support one another. And many of those relationships continue outside of the group and beyond the program.
Type 2 diabetes can be prevented. Learn how being a part of a community with similar challenges and goals can help you succeed. Visit www.cdc.gov/prevent-type-2.
Good morning, good morning, and good morning to you again. Welcome to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And it's Let's Talk About It Tuesday, Church Folk Day. Yes, already we're at Tuesday, and God has been so gracious to us to usher us in to the second day of the week. And, you know, how can we say thank you for that? You know, we're talking today about some going on here in New York City that is just plastered, you know, ever since the other day. And I want to start off with some tips. You know, a lot of us are, you know, living in homes where it tends to be a little cold, and, you know, we want to get those electric space heaters going. And forever, they have been warning us about the dangers of space heaters. And there's just some things that we need to know. Okay. Well, number one, they say understand the dangers. Come on, get those pens out. We need to write these things down and plaster them up on the refrigerator, the closet door. You know, make sure that we have the stuff in the front of us so that we do not forget. Okay. Number one, understand the dangers. Okay. They say that your space heater should have a label that shows it was tested in a recognized laboratory. Yes. Before the, you know, before using your heater, they say make sure you read the manufacturer's instructions and warning labels and know the do's and don'ts of your space heater. Okay? The only way we're going to know is if we read. Okay? All righty. Here, number two. They say, here we go. Oh. Safety first. They say that, you know, space heaters account for 1/3 of all home fires and 4 out of 5 home heating fire deaths. Yes. So make sure your home smoke alarms are working properly. You know, they, the last two major fires that we have seen in the news, the one in Philadelphia where there were 26 people living up in the place, and this Bronx fire, they both had issues with their smoke detectors. So, come on, if you're going to be using, first of all, you should make sure it works, period. But definitely, if you're using a smoke, an electric heater, make sure those smoke detectors are working. Okay? They say, number three, check that cord and extension cord. Yes. Well, first of all, let's get one thing out of the way. You must plug your heater directly into the wall. Please do not plug your space heaters into extension cords or surge protectors. It must go into a grounded outlet, okay? If you don't have an open outlet, you know, it normally comes with two. Yes, do not put one of those six, you know, it converts, it's an adapter. It converts your two space outlet into six, or there's one that has for three. Do not put those in first. It must go into the normal two outlet. Please, okay? They say when you're using your cords, you know, that you're going to plug into the wall, they say check that the cord does not have cracks and that it's not broken, okay? Please. They say these are definite fire hazards. You cannot use these things and not expect to have problems, okay? Make sure your cords, and check, listen, if you have adult children in your house, okay, it's a caveat. Do not assume that they will not use it. Okay, I do not allow my adult children to get space heaters. I'd rather just go ahead and pay the extra bill for the regular heat. I had two of my girls. We went away. I have to tell you this story because this is serious. We went away on a trip one time to church, and you know the oldest and the youngest, and they're adults. They went with us on the trip, and it was time to do hair, and they bust out this blow dryer, and when I tell you, you could see all the colored cords on the inside. I was like, what is this? And they were like, this is the blow dryer. No, it's not. You brought this blow dryer into, we were in a home in Pennsylvania, a rental home. I said, you can't use that thing. Put that in the garbage. Once you saw these cords exposed and, oh, my goodness. They didn't even have the black electric tape tied around. Oh, my God. My whole heart just dropped. Oh, and that's first of all, we don't even know the type of electricity that, you know, how well this electricity is put together. You go put this thing in here, we all end up in a fire. And then something went in my head. And I said, wait a minute. You brought this from home? You brought this from the house? Which meant that they were using it in my home. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And I'm saying, oh, my God. Because only God kept this house from going up in flames. So you cannot assume that they're not doing stuff. And they actually laughed at my response. And I'm like, yo, listen, we're living in a home where I never had to really have a lot of electrical work done. And when a few years later, when the guy came through and was doing, you know, rewiring the house and stuff like that, he pointed out so many different things that they had done from 1902, you know, when they were using, you know, scotch tape and thread. And I'm like, all I thought about was that hair dryer, that blow dryer with all of those, the yellow and the green and red. I was like, oh, my God, Jesus, you just stood over this house and covered us. Please do not assume that the people in your home is doing what they're supposed to do. They're not. Please make sure they're doing what they're supposed to do. Go through your home. Check the things they're using, especially these space heaters. Buy a new one if it's a certain amount of years old. Yes, let's talk about this thing today, because you know what? If a lot of people, if everybody, if you live in a building and everybody is, you know, if everyone is taking the same level of precaution, then the homes would be safer. These buildings would be safer. So that's just a personal story to let you know. No, and I mean, these girls were grown. We ain't talking about no 5-year-old or no 10-year-old or no 12-year-old. These were grown girls. And I said, I would buy 50 head blow dryers before I let you use this thing. And we left it right there in the garbage. Oh, my goodness gracious. All right. Don't leave your space heater unattended. Oh, they say when you're leaving the room, turn your space heater off. You should also turn it off when you're sleeping. They say never leave your pets or children to play close to these space heaters. Man, just do not do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Now, especially if they're the coiled ones. You know, they're making ones that are a lot less dangerous now. The ceramic space heaters are not as dangerous as, you know, the other ones are with the coils. Yeah, those ones with the coils are so dangerous because if anything touches it, it can catch on fire. Okay? Next, they say do not leave your space heater where the cord can cause trips and falls. Yes. You know, they thank God they don't have those short cords like the appliances do, where you can't even, by the time you plug up the appliance, it's already to the wall. They do give you some room, but they say do not, you know, have it across the room like that where people can fall, you know, over them, okay? All right. Well, I beat them to the punch. The next thing they said is plug it directly into an outlet. Okay, again, never use an extension cord or a power strip because they can overheat and cause a fire. Okay? All righty. What else are we saying? They say keep a distance. Okay? They say make sure it is 3 feet away from anything that can burn, including rugs, clothing, paper, the whole nine yards. You know, for those of you who use rugs, you know, on carpeting, you may want to take some type of wooden board or something to sit it on. Do not sit it directly onto your carpeting. Okay? All right. Next, They say look for a space heater that has safety features such as a tip-over switch, an overheat sensor, and a touch sensor. Yes, when I was doing research for our space heater, that's the one thing that a lot of them say they have is the tip-over, you know, where it helps to keep the heater balanced properly so it does not tip over, again, possibly catching something close to it on fire. They have an overheating sensor where if it gets too hot, they will shut itself off. You know, it'll shut itself off. Okay, so make sure you look for those safety features. Ooh, here's a good one. Here's a good one. Look at the watts. Okay, they say the wattage determines how much heat a space heater will produce. Most electric space heaters range from 400 to 1500 watts. Okay. So make sure you check for the size room. Check for the size room that you're using. And be careful when you're using a space heater and you're replacing a broken boiler or something like that. Because they say that's a lot of times when these things catch fire because you tend to leave them on longer. So you want to make sure that you are, you know, getting enough wattage for the space that you're using. Okay? All right. You writing? Are you writing? All righty. Come on. Let's get them pens up because this stuff is really, really, really important. All right. Next. Get up, see, again, use for supplemental heat only, okay? Now, here we go. They say you should never use it for drying clothes or anything like that. No, please, please, please. And again, we're talking about don't put your clothes near the oven. Oh, remember, many people have done that. All right? Listen, if you don't have like a radiator, the old-fashioned radiators to throw your stuff over, then you're going to have to find another way because the oven and the space heaters are not the things to use to dry your clothes, okay? Now they're also telling you to make sure that your space heater is efficient, all right? Make sure that it is marked with some Energy Star, energy-saving program, because that will definitely not only tame your heating bills, but it will definitely address how much you use it. Yes. Okay. Because remember, it's only for short term. It's not just long term. I can't get my boiler fixed. Listen, borrow money, do something. It's easy to borrow money. It's really not that. When you go back to the stories that are told regarding these fires, one of the issues is make sense what I said, but I want you to pay attention to what I'm saying. Yes, pay attention to why these people use fires. Now here's the thing. Here's the thing. This fire that took place over the weekend in this building where 17 lives were lost, a family was using a heater. They said in a place that was already heated. They already had heat in the building. but because there are people who get colder than others, and, you know, you want to use, you know, I don't know. I don't know why, if there was heat in the building. You know, none of the other people were complaining that the building was not hot. You know, there are people who get a little colder. They want a space heater. You know, these things, if you don't have to use it, then don't use it. Don't use it. Please don't use it, especially if you're not going to be responsible. Not just gave you a handful of things as to how to use the heater. How many people don't have these reminders? Okay? You know, I'm full of stories. I'm full of stories. And I'm going to tell you, you got to be careful, even in your workplace. One of the girls came, well, my middle girl came home one day, and she had a beautiful, long black coat. And she took the coat off, and she said, I can't even wear this thing anymore. And I said, why? And she said, she said, my first day wearing it. And I said, well, why you can't wear it no more? So she said, the heater at the job got to it. So I had no clue of what she was talking about. Well, I looked at the coat. It was one of those space heaters that had the coils. She never realized that her coat was lying on the back of the chair, and it was leaning on the space heater and burned a hole straight into the coat. Now, my heart just sank, because all I thought about was the coat could have caught on fire, she not realizing, and then it caught her clothes on fire, and she would have been on fire. So this was at the workplace. And I've known people at the workplace to put those little space heaters underneath their desks to keep their feet warm or near their desk. No, please be so careful. Be so careful when you're using these space heaters. And I said, girl, you didn't smell this coat burning? She said, no. And I mean, it was a burnt hole in the coat. You could see straight through the coat to the stuffing inside. It was like like some kind of down thing, and heavy, beautiful coat. First day wearing it. Well, it was our last day wearing it. That's what happens when we don't pay attention. Remember, they said don't put things close in proximity to your heater. Yeah, well, that's. I tell you, I'm full of stories. Pay the extra money for your oil or your gas. It's so much better than, you know, wearing, putting on these space heaters. While we're on the conversation of fires, I also looked up some key things to do if a fire starts. Okay, so keep those pens up. Keep those pens up. Okay? They say know where your safety equipment is, such as your fire extinguisher. Know where it is in the house. Okay? In case of a fire, know where it is. Now, also be advised that your fire extinguisher needs to be an all-purpose fire extinguisher, because they do have fire extinguishers that are for different purposes. Yes, they have one that's generic and it can, you know, combat any kind of fire. They have those for this material.
Steph will be right back.
All righty. I'm back. Thank you, my engineer. Thank you, Shanti. I'm back. You know, make sure that when you pick up your fire extinguisher, you are buying one that addresses all different types of fires, okay? All right. They said, get out, stay out, and call 911, okay? Get out, stay out, and call 911. They say, yell fire as you're going out. Fire. Let people know what's going on as you're leaving the space, okay? They say if you live in a building with elevators, make sure you use the stairs, okay? Now, we see whenever you're at an elevator, most elevators have like that little, you know, sign that has, you know, that line drawn, don't use elevator in case of a fire. Please do not use an elevator in case of a fire, okay? They say if your closed doors or handles are warm or smoke blocks your primary escape, use the second way out. Hopefully God has it. You have a second way out. Okay? They say never open doors that are warm to the touch. Never open doors that are warm to the touch. Okay? The door being hot or the handle being hot is an indicator that there's something going on the other side of that door. Keep it closed. Okay? They say if you have to escape through smoke, get low, go under the smoke to your exit. Okay? Get low and get to your exit. Close the doors behind you. Oh, close the doors. How many times have we heard about that helping to spread the fire? Close the doors behind you. Okay? They say if the smoke or the heat blocks or the flames block your exit, stay in the room with the door closed. Okay? Stay in the room and wait for help. Okay? Open up a window. Make sure you put that towel to the door and call 911. Okay? They say when you open up the window, wave a brightly colored cloth or flashlight on the outside of the window, and that will indicate that you are in there and you need help. Okay? They say once you're outside, go to your meeting place, which means that you have had to establish one with your family, okay, and someone needs to make sure that 911 has been called if you have not done it already, okay, and they say that your family should have an emergency communication plan, okay, so let's make sure we keep those things in mind. You know, let's make sure we don't panic. You know, we just got finished talking this morning about God confidence, you know, and it takes a lot not to panic, you know, but let me just remind you that when we panic, we lose it. Nothing happens well when you panic, okay? Make sure you teach your children these things, these pointers, and make sure you teach them stop, drop, and roll. Stop what you're doing, drop to the ground, and roll back and forth, especially, well, not tomorrow, but when your clothes are on fire. Just roll around, okay? They say running will only make the fire burn faster. So that's what we want to teach, you know, our children. All of these points we just talked about and the stop, drop, and roll pointers. You want to make sure that your children, your grandchildren, nieces and nephews, teach this stuff in your church. Whatever you need to do, get this message out, because a lot of times deaths and things take place because people don't know what to do. Or if they do know what to do, they panic. Okay? So let's just, you know, make sure that we have these tools in our arsenal so we will make sure that if anything should happen, you know, we keep that God confidence in front of us, keep us level-headed, and we move, you know, in an orderly manner where we can not only save our own life, but others, you know, other lives as well. Okay? I want to also give you some information. If you want to help, you know, any of these people who suffered from this Bronx fire, okay? You got those pens up? Okay. They say if you'd like to make donations, you can go to Monroe College, Houston Hall, and that's on Jerome Avenue in the Bronx. And you can go from 9 to 5 Monday through Friday. Okay. The second way you can donate is to State Senator Gustavo Rivera's office. The address is, hands up, 2432 Grand Concourse, from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Thursday. Okay. Three, if you want to donate, Assembly Member Tapia's office. And that address is 2175 Jerome Avenue, from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday and Wednesday, and 9 a.m. to 5 on Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. Okay? And also, if you want to donate, go to Council Member Oswald Feliz's office, and that's at 573 East Fordham Road. Again, that's in the Bronx, and you can go there from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Monday through Thursday. They have a, they have a GoFundMe page as well. So you may want to go on the GoFundMe page and look up a way to, if you want to send money directly to them, you know, that way. Okay, they have a lot of help coming from them, thank God, coming to them from the state and federal side. So we want to make sure that, you know, you get that information in case you want to help. All righty? All right. Got a little news that I want to talk about here. Well, you know, like I said, you know, we want to address some elephants in the room. There's a young lady, unfortunately, you know, over the weekend, with all that's going on, she lost her life to a senseless act. And, you know, you got to wonder, what's going on in this world? Well, first of all, here's my question. My question is, who is running a business and leaving their lobby open all hours of the night? Who's doing it? Who is doing this? You have a Burger King that's open all hours of the night, where you have a 19-year-old young lady working in this place. This crazy, crazy person comes in and guns her down. And all he got was $100. Yes. This took place, you know, over the weekend at 116th and Lexington Avenue in Harlem. And, you know, he went in, he pistol whipped a customer, and he punched the female manager in the face. and he shot the young lady in her stomach, and later she was pronounced dead at the hospital. 19 years old. They say her family had just come here a few years ago from Puerto Rico, and she was trying to get off from this night shift. Yeah, she said she was already, they say she was already nervous, and she was trying to get off, you know, had put in to not to have this shift anymore. And here she is now, no longer with us. You know, why would you even have, listen, put a couple of extra dollars in there. If you got people who are patronizing this place hours of the night, make your money. But put what they used to put in the bodega. Get one of them spinning windows. People order what they want, are protected behind the glass. They don't have to worry about it. And don't let them close at some 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, where at least when they're coming out, they got to worry about, you know, somebody either meeting them or the, you know, the cops being it. You really have to use better sense than this as an owner. Really? Really? I mean, and then you have a woman. The manager was a woman, and the 19-year-old was a woman. You actually left your store, your restaurant being run by a woman, another female, there working, a young girl. I mean, come on, put some security up in the place, some real security. Because let me tell you something, out here in Queens, I remember going to the movie theater, Red Lobster, and they had armed security there. They have armed security. They did not have no, as they call them, the little toy cop with just a flashlight. No. So you making that kind of money? Because listen, in order for you to keep your restaurant open that long, you got to be making a couple of dollars. So go ahead. And you want to help the community. You want to, you know, be the Burger King that's open. Then go ahead and open and put a little armed guard up in there. And then, or either have the armed guard come through there when it's time to close or something. I don't know. But, and still, again, not in no 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. You know, if you want to do the 1 o'clock, you know, something like that, then that's, you know, that's one thing. But really? Because generally, they don't open up or leave these restaurants open, you know, to this, at this time, unless you have like a drive-through. You know, you don't have these places where people are walking out on foot. You have a drive-through. You're open late. People are, you know, more than likely they're open to something. McDonald's open 24 hours, and you're driving through. And these people are not leaving in the middle of the night. You know, they're leaving like on the next shift in the morning. So they're doing an overnight. They don't have to worry about nobody, you know, coming up to them at no 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. That's just dumb. That's just really, really dumb, and it's just insensitive. It is really insensitive. Let me get to I just got a reminder, because that is true, that she didn't want to work there because she was scared. She was asking for the change of shift. Thank you so much. She was asking for the change of shift because she was scared. Wow. Okay, so I'm getting these little pointers. It says her mom woke her up to go to work to make sure that she was being responsible. Ooh, Lord have mercy. A whole lot of people are going to feel real bad over this one, because you're trying to teach your child, you know, to be responsible and, you know, and be, you know, a person of their word. If you take a job and you say you're going to do the job, then you're going to do the job. And this is how it ends. Ah, where's my due time crew? Where's my Pastor Ed? Let's say good morning to Pastor Ed. Good morning, Pastor Ed.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I am doing well. Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing well also. Thank you.
Good, good, good. You know, we're talking this morning about tips to using a space heater. Do you have any tips, even if it's a repeat, you know, of what you've learned about using a space heater, even if we've talked about it already?
Yeah, well, just from the knowledge that I've received over the years, you know, you never leave them on overnight because that's too dangerous. You know, you're asleep, you don't know what's going to happen. You make sure they're never close to anything that's flammable. And I was told you always plug them directly into the socket. Don't use an extension cord because, you know, those all can pose fire hazards. I really don't like them. I understand that, unfortunately, there are instances where they have to be used, but I don't like them at all. I was a victim of a house fire as a child, and so anything, anything that could be a hazard, I'm hypersensitive about it. So those are just some of the things I remember concerning space heaters.
Wow, wow, wow. And those are some key things. All of those things were mentioned in all of our tips. So you just reinforced, you know, our tips. So thank you very much. Okay, we also talked about tips, the things to do in case there's a fire. What are some of the tips you want to throw out there?
Well, again, based upon experience, you know, you always have a family fire plan. You know, for your household, and you actually, even though some people may think it's silly, you actually should do fire drills, especially if you have children in the house, because, you know, you want to make sure that they're comfortable, because during the fire, believe me, the panic and the mayhem that is going on, you want to make sure that they're comfortable enough to where everybody knows where they're supposed to be, or at least can try to remember where they're supposed to be. We were always taught, especially after the fire, to sleep with your doors closed, you know, because you don't want to have an open avenue for the air and the fire to come into. So keep the doors closed. And I heard you. I did catch a bull where you said, you know, you always, if you see smoke, whatever, you always touch the door first to find out if it's hot because there could be fire on the other side. And so those are just some of the things I can remember off the top of my head.
Okay, okay. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. We're talking about, you know, even the safety practices of these merchants who own these restaurants and things like that. You know, they're trying to stay open a little longer because, you know, you never know if, you know, you may get some patrons, you know, late at night. But, you know, what do you think of this Burger King that was open late at night with a female manager, a female cashier, and no other form of security set up for these employees?
Now, for me, I do feel it was irresponsible. Given the times that we're living in, as a business owner, it really is your responsibility to be familiar with the environment or the location where your business is located. And of course, you can do that by getting in contact with the local police station that services your area, the community affairs officer, or whatever they call them in New York. But there's like a community liaison officer at each of the precincts. And so get familiar with. So if you know that there's a high crime rate, if you know, you can find out what hours are the peak hours for crime to happen. You know, they'll come in and give you tips on things that you can do to secure your place against crime. And then you have to take the precaution, whatever that may be. You know, if you can't afford the high-powered security system or security guard, when you're operating a business, you have to calculate that into unfortunately, into your budget because it's a liability against your business. And so I just think, you know, as a business owner, you have to be responsible. So, you know, that's my take on it. It's a shame for someone to lose their life if there are precautions. Sometimes you don't have control over, but if there are precautions that can be taken, you have to plan and be strategic against whatever you're facing in the area that your business is located.
Absolutely, absolutely, Pastor Ed. Absolutely. You know, we're going to, we thank you for joining us today, and we're going to talk to our other panel members, and we'll be back for the main conversation of the morning. Let's say good morning to Pastor Sharlin. Good morning, Pastor Sharlin.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. Good morning, everyone. How are you feeling today?
Hey, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Thank you.
All righty. We're talking about those space heaters. We're talking about them space heaters. You know, what's some of the things that you, you know, either heard or you know about these space heaters? You know, and some tip that you could possibly give our listener, you know, regarding this.
Well, one, I've never liked them, and pretty much always said, you know, as far as plugging it into the wall itself, you know, you have to always check them. And a lot of times, you know, they're on the floor, and you can just walk past them and not even realize how close you are. If, like, if you have a robe or something on, how easy it is to catch on fire. My thought also was the heated blanket. You know, sometimes people don't buy those, but they buy those heated blankets that you have to plug in as well. I've always been never liked them. Never liked them. My tip is do like the old school. Add some extra socks, put some extra clothes on, and don't buy them. But I know that some people, you know, they really need them because they don't have no heat. But go back and back to old school. Get the garbage bag, the thick ones, and put them up on the windows. Wrap your air conditioners. That would be
absolutely.
I do not like them.
Yes. Because they've always seemed to be misused or caused some type of fire or something like that. So, you know, most people really don't like them. And, you know, like you said, you know, warm that house up. You know, warm that house up and put that plastic to them windows and things like that. Listen, I'm with you, Pastor Sharlin. Generally, let me tell you what I do, Pastor Sharlin. You tell me if you ever heard of this one. You know the tablecloth with that backing on it? Not the plastic one.
Yeah.
But that tablecloth with that little, like a little foam backing on it. I get those.
Mm-hmm.
I cut them, tape them to the window, then put the regular plastic over it. And, girl, we get to getting toasty up in here because you got to get by any means necessary. And, you know, really you got to make sure that, you know, you do your due diligence. You're right, Pastor Charlotte, put them socks on. I've told, listen, don't be walking around here in no short and tank top. You're going to be real unhappy because it's going to be cold up in here. So I'm with you. Put them socks on. Put that little hoodie on. You'll be all right.
And you know what else, too? Oh, I lost her. Well, I'm going to keep talking. Also, you know what's good, too, is to take some towels and stuff and put them up in the front door, you know, so wherever you feel that breeze at, you can always stuff it. So that way you don't have to use those. Pastor Adrian.
I can hear you. Yes, I can hear
you. Okay. Pastor
Charlotte. Oh, okay. Okay, you know, so I'm not trying to use the those heaters. I've never been in a fire, but you would think that I have. But I am so terrified when I hear the stories of people, you know, because you never know. You never know. Sometimes you can walk by it and knock it over and don't even realize you knocked it over.
Right.
Mm-mm.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Go ahead. Ooh, I was done. I was just talking to you, Danielle.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much. You know, we're also talking about fire tips, you know, what, you know, the things that, you know, we've heard or we've learned, you know, from what, you know, the fires that have taken place, you know, how important is it? Let me ask you this. how important is it that we make sure the children understand all of the components to what you do when there's a fire?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. When my children was little, I've always said if, you know, something happens, we have a meeting place. And just so happened, my mom, her building had blew up. And we live across the street from her. And when the building blew up and, you know, panic rushes in and, you know, and you do forget, you know, you got to be mindful, one, not only to protect you, but you have little ones. So it always stayed in my head for me to guide them. These are the things that can happen. Don't look for me. Go to this place and stay there and don't move from this place, no matter where you are. It, even as you, they grew up, you know, and you could be in the street. Get to this place. This is our meeting place. Don't move until I get there. You know, so it's very important to teach your children. It's very important, like Pastor Ed said, you know, do those little fire drills so it can become familiar with them of what they need to do. And they know to get out, you know, and meet me here. Don't worry about me. Just go to this place and I'll be there.
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. You know, these things are key because you know, you just don't know when something like that or if something like that is going to take place. So you got to be ready. You know, you definitely have to be prepared. We're talking about, you know, you're not too far from, you know, this location of, you know, where this Burger King, you know, was open late. And, you know, other precautions should have been taken place, you know, to ensure that your employees are safer than just having an open lobby so that anybody could come in and potentially do, you know, what happened. What are you thinking?
Well, that is so true. They do need, well, first, a lot of up here in Harlem, that all of them are open. The McDonald's,
really?
The Chinese restaurant.
Really?
Yeah. So a lot of these places are open 24 hours. Everybody does not have a window.
Wow.
I've even seen those that have windows because if you order so much that they have to open the door anyway.
Wow.
A lot of places have gotten robbed up here because of that. A lot of people have gotten killed. They've had a lot of shootouts and stuff. So even with the police coming around, they usually know when they're coming around.
Wow.
My thought has always been, and everybody in there is majority all young girls because, you know, like people who go to school. So they fill them in between their schedules. That was always a concern for me as a mother that you have these young people out here, these all hours of the night, and then when even those who gets off like 2 and 3 in the morning, now they're standing and waiting for a bus or, you know, they don't have cars, and they're standing, and now they got to get on the train. My thought has always been a certain hour, just shut down. Just shut down.
Right.
Now it's to the point where they have, where they even do delivery, even in these times of the morning. So you can call whatever that thing is that they do.
The DoorDash.
And
DoorDash, Uber Eats.
Yeah. They have these young people come out 2, 3, 4 in the morning, and how I know that is because my daughter, that's what they do. They'd be hungry in the middle of the night or early in the morning, and these young people are coming, you know, so they're in danger. I think that they should, as a employee, just being as a parent, you know, and they don't have to be your children. We are supposed to take care of everybody as if they're our own. So, therefore, you should not have these kids out here this time of night. Shut the business down and open up in the morning. open up in the morning. If you need to do the morning, do the morning. But these late at night and all of that, you don't know who's out there. And that's how a lot of people, and I know that young lady was scared, because I would be scared for her. I would be definitely scared for her. And how is she getting home, you know?
Yeah. Wow. Well, didn't realize that this was such a norm in that neighborhood. And like you said, you know, with the crime rate and the potential, crime that could take place, you know, definitely better planning and better precautions should have been taken. Thank you so much, Pastor Charlotte, for joining us this morning. We'll be back to talk about our main topic this morning. Let's say good morning to our Pastor KL. Good morning, Pastor KL.
Good morning, Pastor KL.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you?
Well, thank you. Am I
off speaker?
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Hang up and call back.
Okay.
Thank you. You know, we have, you know, these are big issues, and, you know, we really need to make sure, like Pastor Charlotte said, you know, as an employer, you know, you have your own family, you have your own children, you know, you have to really think while you're trying to make money for your family, for your, you know, your own life and your own family's business. You got to think about other people. You are not going to tell me that it makes sense to keep in a crime-ridden area, that it makes sense to keep your business open up all kinds of nights. And like Pastor Charlotte said, they're out there waiting for the bus. You know, they can't even get home in a cab because you're not paying them that kind of money. So, whew. All right, Pastor KL is back. Let's hope we have a better connection. Pastor KL.
Yes.
Okay. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I am well. Thank you. I'm well. We're talking about these electric heaters and all of the, you know, the tips, you know, for using the electric heaters. Pastor Charlotte brought up the electric blanket, you know, that she's also, you know, concerned about. You know, what's your thought? Do you have any tips for us?
Yeah, I do have one. You know, I heard Pastor Charlene talk about just put up the heat. You know, putting up the heat, but when you ain't got no meat on your body, you know, you need some extra extra protection. Yeah, I know my wife is a little small, so she needs all the heat she can get at the moment. But I do say that some of the heaters, well, most of the heaters now, you know, as Pastor Charlene was alluding to, that if you drop it or if they fall over, they automatically turn off. So that's one of the safeties that's on that heater. They automatically, if you lift it up in the air, it turns off. If you tipped it over, it turns off. If it moves in any way, it automatically cuts itself off. But again, you know, as they both said, you have to plug it straight into the wall. You know, you can't use an extension cord or, you know, any of those other things. They can be dangerous placed in the wrong hands if you're not responsible. You know, I've seen it burn couches, not put it on fire, but I have seen it singe some couches because they had it too close to the couch, and, you know, you can see the marks on it. You know, so, yeah, it can be dangerous if it's in the wrong hands. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And therefore, for those who are on the thinner side of life, put them clothes on.
Or just gain some weight in the winter.
Sweats off. Just do something, because anything not to have to use an electric heater. We're also talking about safety, emergency tactics to use in the case of a fire. And, you know, we're talking about how vital it is that we teach our children, you know, what to do in case a fire breaks out. You know, we've had the Philadelphia fire. We've had the Bronx fire, where, unfortunately, children, you know, lost their lives as well. and we don't know why in particular, you know, whether it's smoke inhalation or whatever the situation is, but, you know, vital. How vital is it that we teach our children stop, drop, and roll?
Yeah, that's very, very important. I mean, you have to know the safety precautions. You also have to know, you know, depending where the fire is located, whether you want to open that door and run out. You know what I mean? Sometimes when you open different doors, it ignites even more. So the idea of keeping your door closed is always great. We used to do fire drills as well. And I, at that point, I had, you know, preteens and teenagers. So our thing, my wife and I thing was, okay, your door is closed. Open your window and get out the window. Because, you know, in Alabama, everything is one level. So it's not like New York where you have stories. So right. Our first thing was, like Pastor Charlotte said, don't worry about mommy and daddy. Open your window, get out the window, and meet me across the street.
Right.
You know,
right,
so,
right.
I mean, that. So, I mean, it was funny because, you know, in my fire drills, you see all these kids trying to break out their house. You know, so
mm-hmm,
usually people breaking
mm-hmm.
in your house, but everybody breaking out their house. And, you know, we just had
right.
to do that, and they got used to it. They got used to it, you know.
All right. Well, it's
now,
really
me. It was a little different because I couldn't get out a window because you know I was a little fat, but you know I was going to survive. I was going to smother the smoke.
Thank God. Well, thank God we never had to, you know, hear about you stuck in a fire. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. We're talking about, you know, these stores, restaurants that are open late. The merchants are not concerned about the safety of the staff, and you know you keeping these doors open so long. What's the point when you're endangering people's lives?
Well, you know, like I always say, you know, I've been in retail forever, and I always say, you know, all money is not good money, you know, and sometimes the people on the higher stands is just looking at the bookkeeping and the dollar signs. You know, but all money's not good money. If you're going to risk people's lives, then you've paid a big price for you know, that one Whopper that came in. I mean, how much money are you getting at 3 o'clock in the morning?
Right.
You know,
right.
So is it worth, is that Happy Meal or is that bundle, you know, really worth the life of somebody? I mean, one got pistol whipped, so that's automatically, you know, a medical expense. One died and got
mm-hmm.
shot. So that's another medical expense. So what you made between, let's say, 12 a.m. and 3 a.m., was that
mm-hmm.
worth what you have to now dish out for families?
Right.
You know,
right.
and a potential lawsuit,
right.
You know?
Right, right.
And for the life of me, you know, being a big man, I like to eat, but there's no way I'm venturing out looking for something to eat at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, me, there's just no way. I mean, how hungry are you that you need to go somewhere to a Burger King to have it your way? You know, and then
mm-hmm.
why is there not a drive-thru? Who opens their door, you know, saying after 12 o'clock? Why would you do that? How many folks are really eating at this time that there is a demand for somebody to sit down in your restaurant to have a chicken sandwich? I don't understand.
Right. Right. And that's why I said, you know, okay, so at 116th Street in Lexington Avenue, you don't have the ability to have a drive-thru, but you definitely have the ability to have that spinning window where you can, you
right.
know, put it up, you know, and let the people be on, like the bodegas do. And you're on
mm-hmm.
one side, and they're on the other side. And you can spin that sandwich all as long as you want to. And everybody is
right.
safe on the inside. You know, so it's definitely a level of negligence. Thank you so much for joining us today, Pastor KL. Last week, we had a conversation regarding Javon Franklin, who's a pastor or clergy or counselor. And, you know, he was married to his wife, Megan Good, for 9 years. And they are now divorcing. And I read the statement that was put out there probably by a publicist. And, you know, we started dissecting this coming from a Christian individual. So I'll read again the statement. It says, we celebrate almost a decade of marriage together and a love that is eternal. There's no one at fault. We believe this is the next best chapter in the evolution of our love, they added. We are incredibly grateful for the life-changing years we've spent together as husband and wife. We are also extremely thankful to God for the testimony being created inside us both and for blessing our lives with each other. And, you know, it becomes questionable, you know, as we hear this particular statement, and you all started off commenting last week regarding this statement. And, you know, here's what I want to address. Just, there's no one at fault. We believe this is the next best chapter in the evolution of our love. How would that make any level of sense or give any justification for why you're separating, Pastor Ed? Does that even make any sense?
It doesn't make sense, and it makes even less sense because he's trying to spin it from the perspective of a Christian and as a Christian clergy. So the statement doesn't make sense. Again, I feel they allowed some publicists to write up and spin it for, you know, to protect their quote-unquote brand, and it just came off very badly because of his stated clergy. So
you're breaking up so badly. You're breaking up really badly, Pastor Ed.
Can you hear me better now?
Oh, much better. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, what were you saying?
I was just saying that it makes no sense, especially from his vantage point as a Christian clergy, and they're trying to spin it from, you know, because they're laying a lot of this on God and God blessing them. And like I said, it doesn't make sense, especially from a Christian vantage point. So I think they just used the wrong publicist in trying to protect their brand, and it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Well, here's what I want to talk about. There's no one at fault. Listen, what difference does it make? You know, I'm not going to blame her. She's not going to blame. Why does that sound so silly?
Well, it's silly because the bottom line is, and I'm just being real, you all took a vow, and you being a leader, not just a leader, but a celebrated leader. You know, you're a quote unquote a celebrity, both of you, but you're a Christian leader. At least that's what you proclaim. You took a vow. Now you're breaking the vow for whatever the reason. There's some fault somewhere in place. But the bottom line is that spin is not what matters. What matters is the example that you're setting. And now you're making light of it, you know, based upon that statement that was put out there. You're making light of it, and you're not addressing the seriousness of it. When, you know, when a couple join together as one, and I don't want to preach on it, but I'm saying when they join together as one, that's a bond that's made physically and spiritually. Now you're tearing that bond apart, but this statement is making very light of it.
Absolutely, absolutely. Pastor Charlene, you know, he's there saying, you know, there's no one at fault. Then if there's no one at fault, why get a divorce?
Right. It doesn't make sense, and we all are agreeing with that. But they had a conversation, and with that, I'm not going to tell on you, you don't tell on me. So he's still trying to protect each other. So weird that the real truth won't come out. Now, as Pastor Ed was saying about being in clergy, first of all, if y'all we've all agreed last week, if y'all wanted to get a divorce, just do it, come back, it's done. You ain't got to get all this extra coming in. But now that you brought somebody else in for them to write it, and that was my thought as well, that y'all had somebody come in to make it worded one kind of way, so it's still confusing to the people, but therefore, even in the confusion of it, that it's like because of how I want to be able to when we break apart, so you can stay and look good over here, but I'm still supporting you over, you know, on the other end, meaning her. He's still supporting her. So it's like we won't put the picture on either one. I'm not going to let them talk about
absolutely.
I'm not going to let them talk about my back. Yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely. Pastor KL, we're talking about, you know, there's no one at fault. You know, so as Pastor Charlotte said, you know, they're covering. You know, we don't. We want everybody to come out and look good. But how do you look good?
Well, I think this is a double-minded statement. You know, we're all trying to save face, but I mean, it's like we said last week. It's showing too much confusion. So you're not going to look good because now everybody's trying to dissect what happened. So they're going to put their own spins on it. You know, because you wasn't, and because you had this vague statement, you know, now we have to draw our own conclusions. So you're not going to look good. But first of all, in the clergy, you already put a stain on the church because no one understands what's going on. It's total confusion. You know, she's trying to keep, you know, her face looking good because I guess she's a star. You know, but in the clergy, it's hard. You know, one wrong thing and you gone, you know, from the people's eyes. So it's hard to come back. I mean, she might do another movie, but your sermons are going to be looked at a little differently.
Well, I would say definitely looked at differently when you also make the statement of, we believe that this is the next best chapter in the evolution of our love. What sense does that make, evolution of love, that I don't see myself with the person who I vowed myself to? Well, how is this an evolution of love, Pastor Charlotte?
Listen, I think that when they decided to get together, that he was fascinated with her, and now real life set in of what she does and how it's unbalanced from what he's trying to do and the direction that she's trying to go in, you know, because I look back at some of the movies and that's what made me really remember. And how, you know, in that lifestyle that certain things that you're doing, even though that you're saying that you're confessing, you know, God, but some of the things that you are doing within the movie. So now the love that we have, it really realized, you know, now you see as you go on, as in, you know, because we say even when we get married and you love somebody, you're going to have hard times, right? You're going to also disagree, you know, so the love has to stand, even though we might not like each other at that moment, but that love has to still stand. So that's what they was thinking. I guess he thought at that time. And now reality hit in of the real love of now our name is out there. Now this is the way I'm going.
This is the new chapter in the evolution of our love. What should that mean, Pastor Kale?
Well, first of all, if I might say, I don't even think, well, I would hate to think that a preacher, a clergyman, was part of this writing, because that doesn't even sound like something that a clergyman would say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think this stuff was kind of just forced on them. I think it was between the woman and the writer, and this is what they came up because it sounded good. I think that, you know, we fell in love with the hourglass shape and the beautiful woman, and all of a sudden we realized that your lifestyle was contradicting to my lifestyle. you know, here I am a man of God, and here you are, you know, you're just going for the highest bidder, you know, and the love of money is the root of all evil. So I don't even think that he had a part in writing this thing. I think that, you know, just like, you know, the boy, he came to himself and he realized, you know, though she looks good, this is not working. You know, there's no balance in this, you know, and I'm not going to put the stain on the church. But he already did by having these open blanket statements. So again, I don't think he had a handwriting in these letters. I think he just went along with them.
Okay, so I'm going to move this question to Pastor Ed. So speaking for me, who wrote this comment? This was supposed to, because we have all said we believe like a publicist wrote it. Is that an out? Or how does this make you look, Pastor Ed, when you may not be in agreement with this, but you let this go out as though this came out of your mouth? How bad is that?
No. It was a complete and utter misstep. It was a mistake. He's gotten a crash course in what it means not to be unequally yoked with non-believers, because, you know, he married into a Hollywood lifestyle. And, you know, that's a whole other subject. We can talk about what happens with that lifestyle. And now there, because I'm sure there was an NDA and prenuptial agreements and all types of contracts put in place prior to their marriage. And so, you know, with this, whatever NDA non-disclosure agreement they have, he probably will be held liable if he says anything that's disparaging concerning her and whatever the case may be. So it was a mistake. He should have saw this. I'm saying, just with godly wisdom, you know, he should have saw the potential. Talk about doing a risk assessment. Wasn't much done. And then you're talking about evolution of love, so it means they probably had a poor understanding. He shouldn't have had it, but obviously there was a poor understanding of what love is, whoever wrote this. So he should have just taken the hit and worried about his integrity more so than what the public appearance and protecting the financial brand, because that's what it boils down to. It's a complete mistake, because this whole statement, everything I've read in it, is just off. From the point of view of him being a Christian clergy.
All righty. You know, I want to address this last statement. We are also extremely thankful to God for the testimony being created inside us both and our blessing our lives with each other. Okay, I'm go ahead, Pastor K.O. How do we say we're thankful to God for the testimony being created inside us both? What testimony is being created in your eyes?
You're thankful to God that he didn't kill you, because he's not pleased. You know, that can be the only thankful to God that is not worse than what it is. You know, because, again, you know, Hollywood has put a stain on the church. This is not one of your motion pictures that you can cut the scene and try to redo the scene. And, you know, this is not it. And then you've gotten a person who's not even an actor, you know, to come into one of your shows. I mean, you played Hollywood the whole marriage. You know, both of y'all have been creating scenes your whole marriage. And now that the sequel is over, you can't write no more. You know, now you want to stop and try something else, but you still love each other and you're still thankful for God. I don't understand what you're thankful for. You know, only thing I can see is that you're thankful that he didn't kill your career. You're thankful that he didn't take you off the pulpit. You know, these are the only testimonies, you know, that I can see that you could be thankful for, because you've made a mockery out of marriage and you've made a mockery out of the church.
You know, the testimony, Pastor Ed. Well, what's the testimony given here when you're saying the testimony in maybe sure, testimony being created inside us both. How does the average person, you know, let's say the average Christian, how does the average Christian get this all mixed up? You know, that there's a what kind of testimony do we need to be putting out there? What are we responsible for putting out there? Is Pastor still with us? Nope, he's not still with us. We lost Pastor Ed. All right, Pastor Sharon, so I'll ask you that question. You know, what's the testimony that we're responsible for, you know, that we should be putting out there, that should be happening, you know, within us?
Well, the testimony we should be saying that is, you know, I thank God for bringing me into my right mind. I thank him for being able to say that I am sorry to the ministry. He should be able to testimony of saying that he's, you know, apologized that we're that to the people who are not just following him that's in the ministry, but those that have watched him, you know, and how God brought him to his right mind and how God delivered him and how, you know, he made a mistake, you know, because we are human, you know, and we made a mistake and, you know, and tell somebody of how he made it through with the Lord's help, you know, where that she, at the time I was there with her, you know, and I was in my own way, you know, and it wasn't of God, you know, so therefore I thank God that I've been delivered from it, you know, and where that he opened up my eyes, you know, and go into the truth, you know, the truth, because that's where we, our testimony will help someone else who is struggling that or is or living it, might not be struggling, but think that it's okay, you know, and then they're able to come out, you know, because
absolutely,
we are in our, you know, in our testimony, you know, people leave out a piece, you know, because of shame. But if you tell it all, you can help somebody because somebody needs that piece that you're holding back. You know, because we all fall. We all make mistakes. We all, you know, look at things in a different way. You know, we get in our flesh sometimes. So to show that you are real, you know, and being able to stand, you know, in front of and say, I made a mistake. I thank God that, you know, just like Pastor Kale said, you know, thanking him that he did not take this away from me. He did not do this. He did, you know, there's so much in your testimony that you can say to help somebody
absolutely
else along the way.
Absolutely, absolutely. Pastor Kale, what would have been, you know, in a, Pastor Charlotte was speaking, you know, what would have been a better statement, a statement to that would have blessed God's people? What would have been a better statement for him, for them to make, or for him to make, or for him to make?
I think, you know, that just as Pastor Sharlin said, you know, we made a mistake. You know, sometimes you just have to admit you're wrong. You know, I think people can deal with you better when you admit you're wrong. Not only that, but now they see you as a person. You know that you know pastors. You know, they make mistakes too. You know, they have real lives. They make mistakes. Listen, this wasn't for me. You know, I went out of the will of God. Listen, if you're getting a divorce, it's because you went out of the will of God. This wasn't the person for you. You know, so sometimes you just have to admit and say, you know what? We stepped out. We stepped out, and we stepped out the wrong way. You know, and God has given us an opportunity to fix it. And get it together. You know, she wasn't for me, I wasn't for her. You know, so we're moving on now. You know, we're not moving on bitter with one another. We're not angry with one another, but we do realize that we are not for one another. I think people can deal with that more than all of this, you know, let's fancy up the words and let's make it look nice. And no. Don't shoot me smoke. Because after the smoke clears, I still want to see it for what it is.
Let me ask you something, Pastor Charlotte. Do you think that at the end of the day, when he married her, and now after 9 years of marriage, they realize or whatever that they need to separate, do you think that he was more bad for her or she was more bad for him? When we talk about the issue of
you lost you?
No, I'm here. Oh, I thought you were saying something else behind it. Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
We lost your last line. When we talk about the issue of and then cut off.
Oh, okay.
So we have. Do you feel that because he is in the clergy arena, that he, at the end of the day, was more bad for her than she was for him?
That was the end? Her or him?
Yes. Was he more bad for her, or was she more bad for him?
I think that he thought he could change her. I think that he probably thought that as if she married me, I know how she was, how she is, and as time go on within these years, that she will make another decision of coming closer to God in the way that he probably thought that she would. So I would say that it would be more bad for him because he saw what she was, and who we see is who we are, you know, who we marry now, as if the person wants to. But I'm sure they had a conversation. It didn't get just to the 9 years. I'm sure through that time they had a lot of conversation, a lot of arguments in doing that time. It just got to the 9 years as things linger, you know, because she's going away a lot, you know, in her field to make the movies, this, that, and the other, you know, and probably during that time, Frank came, and now we have to make a decision on what we're going to do. And it probably got to that point.
Okay. Mm-hmm. No, go ahead. So you say, what's the verdict?
Okay, no, up to that point. Oh, the verdict, I thought I said it at the beginning. Him. I mean, wait.
Okay.
Just
making sure because you did say that. I just wanted to make sure that that's what you were saying still. Okay, thank you.
Him.
Pastor KL, do you think he was worse for her or was she worse for him?
I think they were equally bad for each other. I think that because of who she was married to, perhaps she couldn't do certain roles because they were looked down. And I think because of who he was married to, he compromised in a lot of ways that might have went against what he believed, you know, in God. So I think equally they were bad for each other from the beginning. Because, I mean, again, they were unequally yoked. You know, you're a grand movie star, and there may be some roles that's contradicting to what the Bible says. But you're going to say, well, this is just my profession. No, we can't. Certain things we can't do just because it's our profession. You know, if for God I live, for God I die. You know, God is not going to put you in a place that's going to put a stain on the church. You know, you have to make that decision. And again, you know, with him trying to support his wife, he allowed his wife to do some things that might have put a stain on the church. So I think it's equally that they both wasn't good for each other, and they both was detrimental and dangerous for each other.
So let me add this to the equation. We got like 2 minutes. Let me add this to the equation. She never publicly stated that she was a Christian woman. That was the safest way to go. Because
right.
now you
right,
can't
right.
hold me. You can't hold me to what you just said. She didn't put the stain on the church.
Right.
She never made
right,
the
right.
declaration. Pastor Sharlin, does that, I'm coming back to you, Pastor Kale. Pastor Sharlin, mm-hmm. does that help the fact that he is worse for her than she is for him? Stain against the church? Where's the stain against the church come from, him or her? Let me just ask that
the
question.
Stain,
hey? Him. Him. Okay.
Because
okay.
He brought, because he brought her in.
Okay.
He knew what
okay.
he had. I'm still saying that mm-hmm. he knew what he had.
Okay,
he
okay, okay.
Said it, right?
No, there was never any statement. As a matter of fact, there was a statement that he made that, you know, it was okay for her to continue her lifestyle and accepting these type roles.
Right. There you go. Him.
Never made an right. She never made an open declaration that she was now into the Lord because she had married a man of God.
Mm-hmm.
Do you say equal still, Pastor KL?
No, I think he brought the stain. I mean, it's almost like the story of Samson and Delilah. You know, you got what you wanted, but you lost what you had. You know, and that mm. that is the problem. You know, you got everything that you saw that you wanted, but the anointing and the power of God. You know what I mean? And all of that, you've lost all that. You know, for what? Because after 9 years, you're still lost.
Wow.
There's nothing you gained.
Absolutely. Thank you both for contributing to this conversation. Church folk. Thank you. We pray you have a blessed day. Thank you so much for joining
Likewise.
Us today.
Likewise.
Thank you.
Likewise.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Woo! Boy. Church folk. You know, we've talked a lot about, you know, what's happening out here over the weekend with the deaths. And we want to do a little pray for them today. And we're going to take that time to do that. Heavenly Father, we thank you, oh God, for giving us another opportunity to see your beautiful day, dear Heavenly Father. Whether we're in a hot climate, whether we're in a cold climate, God, whether we have a job, whether we don't, regardless of the state we're in, God, we are grateful because you did not have to even awaken us today to even receive the blessing of life. And Lord, as we are on this side of the fence, we lift up all of the victims of the fire that took place in Philadelphia. We lift up all the individuals who took who were victims to the blaze in the Bronx. And we ask you, dear Heavenly Father, to please be with the family of the young lady who lost her life as an employee, just doing her job. Dear Heavenly Father, we're grateful, dear Heavenly Father, for all that you did do, even in disaster. Your word says that we should give thanks in the good times and the bad times. And Lord, we know that, you know, it's a very difficult thing. It's very difficult when you have lost your home, when you have lost family, when you have lost friends, when you have lost loved ones, when you're looking around and you're trying to figure out how do you move forward. You don't have any more of your own clothes. You don't have nothing that belonged to you in the morning is in your possession in the afternoon. What we had yesterday, we no longer have today. How do you move forward with that? How do we give thanks for being in such a loss? And God, we say thank you because we have that God confidence. And we know, God, that, you know, even through death, your name needs to be ever praised because it could always, no matter where we are, no matter how bad we're doing, it could always be worse. We give you thanks, God, for everyone who heard of this situation and they are donating clothes and items, donating money. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, that, you know, there were firemen who were able to get in and get them out. And we give you thanks, dear Heavenly Father, because there are landlords that are now offering apartments to people who lost, you know, their place to live. We're just grateful to Heavenly Father for all of the generosity and the love that's being shown at such a difficult time, to Heavenly Father. How do we say thank you, God? We thank you for your son. We thank you for your son who at so many years ago died for each and every one of us. And we weren't even here, but he thought of us. He was on that cross, the Heavenly Father. And Lord, we just ask you to be with them, God. We ask you, God, to just rub their hearts, God. We ask you, God, to just help them to find some level of thankfulness. And some people will be bitter. Some people will be angry. Some people will hate you. Some people will ask, you know, where was God and why did God allow this to happen? And Lord, we just ask you to just bless their lives as they are lost. It's nothing like being lost. And for those of us who have stepped over to this side, we know what it was in our former life to be lost. We know what it was to be hopeless. We know what it was to see devastation and disaster, and that's all we saw. So we understand, God, how they could get there. But, Lord, we're asking you to touch their mind, touch their hearts, touch their spirit, touch their mouths, touch their eyes, so that they could somehow see you through all of the devastation. For the mother who encouraged her daughter to go to work, to be responsible, so that she could show her boss that she was being responsible, and she's no longer here. We ask you to cover that mother's heart, to cover that mother's, you know, footsteps. How are you, you know, going to handle her heart is only on you. We have no idea how you will help her move forward, but we know that because you are the great God, the great healer, the wonder-working God you are, you will help this mother move forward, God. What a loss she's suffering right now. What a loss these other individuals are suffering when they've lost their children to fires. God, the man who left the door open, who says the door got stuck, whether the door was stuck, whether he left it open in negligence, God, we ask you to help him move forward. Because, God, when we're in a panic-stricken state, we don't think. We don't move in a better manner. All we think about is everything. We can't focus on you, God. And that's why, God, we give you thanks that we're here. Because, you know, just trusting you and just knowing you allows us to put a pause during the chaos that helps us move and allow you to order our steps, God. For all of the individuals that were negligent somehow, whether it was the people who owned the home, the building, the employer, God, we're asking you to turn this all around. What a hard lesson to learn. But you have to, you know, you have to sometimes allow us to go into certain zones in order for you to get the glory. And some people will never understand it, God. But we do. That there's your permissive will and your sovereign will. And at the end of the day, your sovereign will reigns. We're so, so, so heavy-hearted, God, to hear of such devastation. And we ask you, dear Heavenly Father, that as we are hearers of these instances, that we now become proactive, that we now take the safety measures, that we now, when we were negligent in our own way, that you would stir up whatever it is that we need to get this right moving forward. It didn't take us to have to be devastated. But you have used this as an example to save how many more lives. And we pray, God, that we teach our children, we teach our neighbors, we teach our friends, we teach our congregation about the safety measures that need to go into effect into our own lives instantaneously. That even something as simple as a smoke detector in our home, we would ensure is working. Something as simple as buying a battery and not ignoring that constant chirping would now sound different to us, God. One thing might help to save a life. So we thank you, God, for allowing us to just be hearers, and that we will no longer just be hearers, but we will be doers of your word. That even in this instance, God, the petition that goes out every day that says, accept Jesus as your personal Savior right now, because later is not promised to you, what would ring differently in our ears. We prayed on Sunday, God, for those who don't know you. We prayed on Sunday, God, for those who have accepted you but still need to take those extra steps. Negligent. Grasping on to you just a little bit tighter. That we're negligent in letting just that one other thing go. That we're trying to hold on and take control when we need to just release it all and give it all to you. That the sudden loss of life, someone being found dead in a hotel room, God, and all of this outpouring of love that this person will never hear, that we will even learn from that, God. And we will learn to say, I love you. We will learn to say, I'm sorry. We will learn to spend more time. We will learn to stop busying ourselves doing all kind of things instead of showing one another the love that we have. And it just won't be lip service, God. That everything we've heard over these past few days would be life-changing to all of the hearers, God, that we won't waste it, so that these people did not die in vain, so this loss would not be in vain, but that every sense inside of us would be awakened and we can now service you differently, serve you differently, love you differently, respect you differently, honor you differently, God. And we can treat one another with a greater love because we just assume that we're going to be here or somebody else is going to be here later. We thank you, God, for every time you said yes, and we thank you, God, for every time you said no. And we pray, God, that there is a great healing in this land. There's a great healing in these lives. And that at the end, you ultimately get the glory out of it all. In the name of Jesus, God, we pray. Amen. Again, you know, we are seeing so much devastation as time goes on. We are dealing with so much devastation in the land. We continually hear so much loss. You know, they show pictures of the torched building. You're just looking at it and you're saying to yourself, that didn't look like that hours earlier, that those people got out of that. And there were people who did it. And you give God thanks, like I said, for how many times, you know, earlier that someone was doing something negligent. You know, I think about that cord that I told you about. I think about that coat Shawnee sat in, right in. She's right on her chair. And, you know, this is why we pray and we ask God to cover us. And we see how he answers our prayer each and every day when we look at such devastation. This could have been us how many times over? About that blow dryer, and I'm like, oh my God, how many times I was in my bed, the house was fine, and something was running that could have been dangerous to our existence. How God covers our life. So often when we should have been dead, God says no. When we should have been in devastation like these people we're hearing, God said no. 26 people were in that apartment, that duplex apartment in Philadelphia. 26 people. And we have to give God thanks that we're living in a home that's not overcrowded, that we're not struggling to have a place to stay. So we live in such dangerous and hazardous environments. So much we need to give God thanks for. And whatever we can do to help, let us do to help in any shape, form, or fashion. Let's make sure we show the love to our brother. Let's keep those things in mind. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. Please accept Jesus as your personal Savior right now. Tomorrow is not promised to us. Until tomorrow, God spares with Wow Wednesday.